say. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic on the road. I've got my dial on the radio. It's tuned to KROX. Let's go, 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 let's go.
Damn, remind me to stay out of the way, not to get involved in any internet beef. It's not worth it anymore. It's not fun, even though I was enjoying myself a bit online last night. But there's some brutal stuff going on. There are some Clash of the Titans-esque fighting happening on the internet.
Anytime you delve into the internet, into cults of personality, you're always going to be outnumbered. And even the trolling starts to wear thin. In a hurry. You writing it down as a note to yourself?
Yes, yeah, writing it down.
It's like a proverb or something.
Yeah, it's one thing if like somebody really steps in it and then it can be fun, or it can be fun to troll someone who just doesn't seem to get it. But when there's a cult of personality attached, do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, you could think of, you know, ex-presidents or any kind of cult leader.
Celebrities.
Sure.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what's happening. There are two different streams of beef going on right now.
Streams of beef.
The first involving literal beefiness, Joe Rogan versus Neil Young.
Yeah.
That is the first big conflict happening because Neil Young basically said, hey, Spotify, you can pull me off your service if you're going to keep Rogan around. And Rogan's fans went ape-ass. And they are angry, they are mad, they're mean. And of course, knowing Joe Rogan a little bit, I would think that Rogan would be like, dude, it's Neil Young, shut up. Like, I feel like Rogan would take the side of Neil Young, but the fans are angry. And then you go and you start looking, and then it's a lot of, like, blue checkmark people, and you're like, who the F is this person? And it's like, oh, it's a YouTube commentator who's only famous because they've been on Joe Rogan, and they're stirring the fans up.
Yeah, you should be careful because you started by saying it's Rogan versus, and it's not.
Rogan hasn't said or done
anything.
Rogan
fans,
right? Neil Young occasionally, and he's been doing this more and more as he gets older, occasionally just wades into something where he shouldn't necessarily be, and he pipes up. And I think that Neil Young has forgotten that it's not 1968 or whatever.
And this isn't a record label that's going to just be like, oh, man, we got to do this.
Oh, yeah. Has anybody checked with David Crosby? We're just a little bit out of time. I like Neil Young fine, but you remember when he waited in everything when he was coming out with his own player?
Yes, streaming service. Yeah. It's, old man, leave technology to the kids. But it is funny just watching people try to dunk on Neil Young like he's not Neil freaking Young, or dropping Lynyrd Skynyrd lyrics like him and Van Zant didn't have a mutual understanding and even kind of friendship.
Right.
It's just bizarre. But the big fight is Damon Albarn versus Taylor Swift.
You need to tell me who David Albarn is.
Damon.
Again.
Damon.
David.
So the
Albarns.
The people.
Did he start that tennis shoe company, the Albarns Tennis Shoes?
No, he's worldwide respected musician and producer known for Blur. And that's what people are like, oh, it's the woohoo song guy. But he's done so much more. He's also Gorillaz. He has solo stuff. And he stepped in it as well by saying that Taylor Swift doesn't write her own songs. And he later recanted and said that, well, she co-writes her songs. And so everyone's dunk on him. It's like, you're the dude that wrote Woohoo, not realizing all the other stuff he's done.
Well, also, he wrote an entire album with no... He's such a pain in the ass to get along with, he had to animate his own band.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Here's the thing. In
he collabs
both of the,
with different people every album. You know,
in
he
both
can't
of
stick.
These situations, the more powerful person was doing nothing but being themselves... when the less powerful person decided to wade into
and
throw a first punch.
Yeah.
And that's always a really, that's a tough position to put yourself in.
Well, let me tell you, I have learned from observing on the internet last night that two of the most brutal fan groups that ever exist are Joe Rogan and Taylor Swift fans. Ugh. And you do not want to step in it with them. It is
They'll claw
bad.
Your eyes out.
They will dox you. They will get out there. Yeah. But I want to know, I'm going to ask you questions about their fan bases and just guess. Which fan base would you say is dumber? Misspelling things online, not making good arguments, just...
Jesus Christ, that one's hard because the average fan of a Taylor Swift is probably going to be a younger person.
Yeah.
So I would kind of tend to lean that way, but also... Rogan's fans, I'm excluding Rogan from this, but Rogan's fans tends to be a group that does a little...
Easily persuaded.
Likes to have somebody else do their thinking for them. I don't know. I'll just take a stab and say Rogan's fans have more of the misspellings.
All right.
Okay. Which fan group do you think was more often ratioed in the comments of posts?
You mean they were bodied? You mean they got dunked on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just ratioed.
By the... wait, the fans?
Which fan group was ratioed more?
No clue.
I'll say Swift on this one, but I really don't know.
No, it's going to be the Rogan fans. Rogan's. Just with a lot of the... You know, not understanding who Neil Young was,
understanding history or logic.
Well, just think if it was Taylor Swift's fans going after
Joe Rogan. That's what we need to turn this into.
That'd be the fight.
Oh, you know, the real fight? Bring, what's her name from? Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Little Monsters?
Dude, I made a mistake one
Bring
time
Adele
on the radio.
Too. I'd love that.
And it wasn't even being serious. It just went on a funny rant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, it was just like, I don't know anything about this. So I just was ranting. It was funny. People laughed. But
you check the comments in the Little Monsters.
It's kind of the only time I've ever gone viral, and it was not pleasant.
It's not fun. Last but not least, whose fans do you think are the most vicious?
Oh.
I mean, brutal, mean, doxing you, swarming, vicious.
This is set up to sound like you want me to go with Rogan's fans.
Yeah, because
those
dudes are going to beat your ass.
No, it's Taylor Swift fans.
It is absolutely Taylor Swift
fans. Are way more vicious.
Lesson learned.
They want blood.
Stay off the internet. Don't mess with Rogan. Don't mess with Taylor Swift.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Today is National Plan Your Vacation Day. There's a group out there that says you should start working on your vacations now. Today's the day to do it, and you need to make sure to be better about taking time off.
Mm.
And all I can think of is how miserably stressful my vacation that's coming up at the end of February is, and how... Do you ever get a relaxing vacation? Is that a thing? You have kids. I have dogs. I mean, it's tough.
I mean, it's been a long time. I don't want to bitch and moan, because think about the amount of people out there that get zero vacation ever.
Spencer.
I mean, I haven't really had serious vacation in 2 years. I mean, prior to COVID. But I still get time. I mean, I have a little more control over my own career than I did when I first started working, and I was working an hourly wage. And, you'd ask for time off, and then your boss would be like, no, I scheduled you anyway.
Yeah.
Even though you were like, but I asked for time off. It's my mom's birthday. I want to go see my mom. They're like, yeah, we can't afford it.
Yeah.
And you just had to show up or you'd lose your job.
That was my service industry career because, one, I needed the money. Two, no one else was working in San Marcos during the summer because everyone was gone. So you had to work. And then in the radio industry, all of our big events were kind of close to holidays, so I couldn't go anywhere because I had to work.
Sure. Yeah. But back to your original question, I think there is something to be said for the pre-vacation. It takes like 3 or 4 days to come down
from
work.
Yeah.
Then you have a bunch of stuff stacked up at the house. You need to clean the house because you haven't in a while and pack up or whatever. And then you get to someplace and, man, when you travel
with
kids... You've
got to unpack and then wind down.
Dude, when you fly with kids and you get someplace and they're... pissed off because they're not in their usual house and they don't have their usual stuff, and kids just don't know how to deal with stuff like that. Like, I don't know how. Man, Oregon Trail, every game of Oregon Trail should have just ended with you got fed up and killed your kids.
Killed your kids and ate them.
It is, man, it is nutso. And so, usually, you know, your kids are in a kind of a squirrely mood for a little bit. I will say this, you're going on a cruise. Can I say that out loud?
Yeah, that's
fine. Or do you
want
to edit?
No, I mean, we'll edit part of it. I'll explain that in a second. But
kids went on a cruise one time and they loved it. That one was great because you just drove there and then the vacation kind of started like that. You drove to Galveston, got them on there, and then immediately had stuff to distract them.
Nice.
And they stayed kind of happy the whole time.
Well, so I don't want to bitch about taking a vacation. I don't want to lick a gimp horse in the mouth.
Ah, yes,
as
num,
they
num,
say.
Num, num, num.
But essentially, we got a free cruise last year. It was gifted to us by my fiance's parents because they gifted a expensive wedding gift to her brother, and they always try to equal that out.
Okay.
So our free cruise was leaving out of Galveston. Tight, awesome, great. However, this new thing called the Matt and CJ show came up out of nowhere, and I can't take a cruise vacation for an entire week with such little time.
Why not?
Before that, it wouldn't have worked out. This would have been the Matt and Spencey show, and
hell
we
yeah.
all know we
God,
don't want
be
that.
Awesome.
Jeez,
oh, yeah,
be pretty sick.
But this is now turned to where postponing the cruise, the only one
it's
we turned could,
into a nightmare.
The only one we could do now leaves out of Los Angeles or California. It's cost us a lot more money because there's keep getting add-on things. We've decided to tack on a Disney trip to that. The COVID testing has now gone from like 72 hours to 24 or 48. So we got to find a place to get COVID tested before we go to Disney, then before we go onto the boat. And now the thing that's happening is it's been tossed to us. Oh, hey. So after rushing around California to get a COVID test to go from hotel to Disney to get on a boat, finally. But hey, Matt, you know what? I'm on the boat. What do I get to do? I get to have some cocktails. I get to go play some blackjack, eat the buffet, sit by a pool and relax for the rest of the cruise, right?
That something's not going to allow that.
Oh, no, because the whole family goes on excursions every day, every goddamn
day. Decided to go with
you? You got to pay $120 to get off the boat and go rush around somewhere and then rush your ass to get back onto the boat every day.
God, you sound like
a negative. There's a formal dinner you got to go to, so I got to pack a suit somehow and my fat ass doesn't fit in it anymore. Suit. So,
great question.
Yeah, happy
Spencer,
national plan for your vacation
Spencer,
day.
When's the last time you had a vacation?
I don't remember. Maybe 4 or 5 years.
Okay, and 4 or 5 years ago, where'd you go? What'd you do?
I stayed at home.
Yeah, okay.
I just hung out.
All right, so why don't you just shove it up your
That's what I want.
101X, Matt and CJ.
A lot of people at the beginning of the year say, I'm going to clean up my life. And they say, I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to start exercising.
Stop smoking.
Experts say, hey, the best way to make yourself feel a lot better and get a lot more done is to clean up your space. We've got too much junk. And if you've ever streamed an adult video of the amateur category, you can look around those bedrooms and you realize we have too much junk.
It gets stressful. Do you notice what the first thing I did to begin our new year here in the 101X studio was?
You cleaned it up.
Yeah, got a little drawer for all of our crap.
Well, you won't let me put anything in it, I noticed.
Well, you got a cabinet. That's my drawer.
All right, that's the way it goes. They said, hey, look, one of the problems that people have is they look around stuff, and some people feel like they feel bad throwing things away. Like my mom and dad would be mad if I threw this away. But there's certain things that can't be donated, like linens. Goodwill won't take used linens because they're like, hey, we don't need linens with a bunch of stains on them. But I went and found places that'll take the stuff that's harder to get rid of. Ha-ha!
Ah, so you're doing some Marie Kondoing.
That's right. Places like pet shelters, a lot of people that had the foster dogs and stuff.
Yes,
constantly need new bedding because they want to change the bedding out every time they have new dogs in there. They'll take your sheets. Now, they'll probably throw them away later, but at least you don't have to go through the act of throwing it away and then feeling that weird guilt inside your stomach. Mm. Yeah. Lawn tools. A lot of times you have lawn tools, you think, well, I could sell this for $5. I don't really know where to go. Hey, places like Habitat for Humanity, you might check around. Churches in your neighborhood that do community gardening and stuff like that. They
Smart.
Will happily take your old, a lot of the stuff that's in your garage that you think, I don't know what to do with this. Mm-hmm. You can look and reach out to them. You can. Also, this one's pretty cool. Baby gear. Goodwill, a lot of places like that won't take a lot of baby gear because there's a liability. Like, what if something's wrong with it? Somebody gets hurt?
That's smart, yeah.
Women's shelters will not turn up their noses at your baby gear, especially baby clothes, a lot of baby furniture, whatever. They could really, really use that stuff. Of course, they go over, they check it just to make sure, and then they can hand it off. Something I'll also tell you, Buy Nothing groups. If you're not a member of a Buy Nothing group, it's a great thing.
Facebook, all that, yeah.
It's on Facebook. It's different than just regular Facebook groups. They're called Buy Nothing and then usually your neighborhood's name.
If you live in my neighborhood, you just put some stuff on the curb, no matter what it is,
it's
going to be gone.
It's just gone.
It'll be gone.
If you haven't checked it out, there is a documentary called Minimalism. And if you want to, you can watch that. And it just talks about how we are taught from a very early age that the best thing you can do is accumulate stuff. Mm-hmm. That proves somehow wealth and you'll be happier. And guess what? It turns out happiness increases when your needs are met and you're not surrounded by a bunch of extra clutter and crap.
Junk. Mm.
So maybe that's what everybody starts on this year, is trying to declutter a little bit. I try to do a decluttering. I've only started it last year, but it's been going strong. Once a month, I take a day. And I just go through and I make a point of like filling up a box with stuff and going, all right, it's gone. You're out of here.
I'm taking this to the radio station.
Yeah, put my kids in it. There you go. See ya.
Matt. and CJ, 101X.
Hey, it's nice to praise your kids, but you know, if you praise them the wrong way, you could actually be holding them back in life. What do you think about that? Parent pickup, here we go. There's something called the growth mindset and something called a fixed mindset. And it turns out everything I've ever done or that my parents did is why everyone's failing. I read through this. They're talking about, hey, it's nice to praise your kids. We're getting better at it. But if a kid draws a picture and you go, oh, my God, that is a beautiful picture.
But it's a piece of crap.
No. If you say that is a beautiful picture, you're screwing the kid up.
Okay. Probably because it's a piece of crap.
No.
Kids
can't
draw.
Because you're
I've
praising
it.
The results, not the process. And so what you do is you set up your brain to believe, like, hey, whatever I do at the end is what it's all about. And it's probably why, like, someone like me is a big old chicken ass, and I don't want to start an own company. What if I fail?
Or
I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to a new job. What if they don't like me there?
Or you give up something midway through because you're like, result's not going to be good enough.
Exactly. And so, in fact, they said, hey, look, let's look at two kids, okay? And they gave an example, these psychologists, and they said, one of them, they're two kids on a track team. One of them, passionate runner. A second is less athletic, and the kid who loves running doesn't have to put out a lot of effort, but boom, wins first place every single time. And then you have a second kid who pushes himself, but they never get a win, and they feel kind of bad about it. You can praise both those kids, but you should do it in a different way. Like the natural runner,
everybody gets a trophy.
You don't want to excessively celebrate the natural ability because it teaches them, well, the places where I have natural ability are the only things
only
that
things
I should
I'm
do,
good at,
and people only like my ability. They're saying, hey, you can praise the whole process. Like, I'm really proud of how you're doing. You want to just not suggest that the innate ability is the primary factor in determining success. It actually will make someone who has a natural talent work even harder in their field of natural talent, which is good because, frankly, sometimes you know that someone's really good at something, they get kind of lazy with it. We call it burnout. But the parent of the less athletic child, if you praise them for the hard work and just say, I can see how much effort you're putting into running, and that's what I'm... That's why we love coming to these meets, is to see you work so hard and really achieve something.
That's a lot of good high school coaches will do that thing. They'll put a kid in who might not be as athletically gifted, but works really hard.
Right. Now, I know
a
lot of you...
And when they lose, it's all that stupid coach's fault.
Exactly.
Damn it.
Here's the thing. Basically, you're teaching your kids, hey, failure can create opportunity, and that will make them more resilient in life. And here is the nice, cool thing about it. Those kids that have that innate ability to be more resilient tend to feel depression much less often in life. I'm looking at the three of us. We're always so happy that I'm sure these are just going right over our head. But another thing is you're like, well, these are for parents of kids. It doesn't matter to me. They're saying that this works in relationships. If you're a manager at work or you just have a team, that if you learn to not go, hey, man, great job on taping and floating that drywall. But if you're like, hey, man, I really appreciate how... that you work really hard and quick and that you're consistent. Like, you're praising that part of it and not just is
the end
it
result.
Good at the end.
Yeah.
You actually can end up with a better team of workers around you.
I can tell that you're really trying hard at this radio thing, kind of. And I'm proud of you for at least kind of trying at this radio thing.
Congratulations on the result. I didn't think that you'd be able to get to a 50 on your waist size, but you did.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ.
America's restaurant might be releasing the most delicious treat yet.
I'm getting very concerned with the integrity of our organization here.
CJ.
You have gained, 50 pounds of fat. The man is carrying around trash bags filled with Mexican foods.
CJ is fat!
That's right, America's restaurant McDonald's is testing out a delicious new treat. Let's go to some famous YouTube guy for the explanation.
Burger with ice cream.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the channel. It's Ian K, Cheaters Camp style. After hours at good old Mickey D's because it looks like they're testing a little new here in the area that I haven't seen available anywhere else. That's right, so stay tuned because the Peanut Butter Crunch McFlurry is up next.
That video goes on for 8 more minutes, but I'll just tell you the net. Looks like the Peanut Butter Crunch McFlurry is about to be a new thing at McDonald's, and I am beyond excited. Think Reese's Pieces mixed with the Butterfinger bar.
Okay.
You're not a fan of that? No?
It sounds like a blizzard.
Yeah, it is a blizzard, but it's better because it's a flurry. A McFlurry's better than a blizzard.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Why would you even say that right now?
Do we need to do a blind taste test to see what is better, a blizzard or a McFlurry?
Yeah. If you want because to, we can bring a blizzard in here and a Sounds pile delicious. Of dog poop, and then you tell me which one is which.
Okay, fine. No, you have to determine which one is which.
But I'm happy to do a blind taste test of a blizzard versus a McFlurry.
Okay, we're going to make that happen. You good with Oreo? They both have comparable Oreo flavors.
No.
Similar. M&M?
No.
Oh, wait, there's no more sexy M&Ms. Okay, what are we going to do then? Butterfinger?
No.
Cookie dough?
Nah.
Well, what?
Beef jerky?
Okay, yeah, beef jerky, Blizzard, and Dairy Queen's, or the McFlurry on the way. The only problem with this is we're not going to be able to get any of this from McDonald's. Do you know why?
It's only in, like, Arkansas or something?
No, the ice cream machine is never working.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a myth that the ice cream machine actually works. But I know it's controversial. I know it's not popular, but I like McFlurry's.
I feel like an a-hole
better than Blizzard's.
Going up against you... I trust Spencer's take on fast food more than you. I'm sorry. I know that's like a rude thing to say to you right now, CJ.
Clearly, I'm better at it.
I just feel like, I don't know, like I feel like Spencer just has had like more experience with depression, so I trust his takes on, sorry, that was backhanded, wasn't it?
But no, you're right, though.
Blizzard or McFlurry.
Sadly, you're right.
Blizzard or McFlurry.
Man, I gotta go... I would... Blizzards are better, in my opinion, but the McFlurry...
Don't add to it because it's only going to complicate the issue.
Okay.
Well, let me explain myself really quick.
So they're just more convenient to find and access.
Precisely. And
which is better for depression because you don't want to try that hard when you're feeling sad.
I'm going to say,
you know,
I'm going to say DQ's Blizzard has the higher ceiling than a McFlurry does. But I'm going to say that a McDonald's restaurant is far more consistent across the globe, across Texas, across wherever you go. Getting a McFlurry from McDonald's is going to be more consistent than what you might get on a road trip Dairy Queen Blizzard. So that's why I put the flurry above the Blizzard.
Getting a McFlurry or a Blizzard, which restaurant are you more likely to see a guy marry his sister?
Depends on which side of the railroad tracks in Tyler, Texas you're on. Yeah.
Okay.
Depends on the restaurant.
Man, I love a DQ.
Me too, man.
I do too.
They're really good. Come on,
I'm just saying DQ.
Tacos. Chicken fried.
Oh, my God. I forgot about tacos.
Quotes, chicken fried air quote steak.
Yeah, they do have good crispy tacos. But they're more inconsistent. McDonald's, no matter, I feel like they have higher franchise standards and...
No, they just have similar. The fact that they're all independently owned and they can choose which ingredients they want to carry at their DQ is what is bothering you. Because some can carry Orange Julius and some don't bother to carry Orange Julius in their drive-thrus. I know this because there's nothing about DQs I don't currently know.
Okay.
What's the best DQs in the city of Austin?
I'm going to go with the one over by Manor or the one
a Mayfield. Telling you right now, a Mayfield DQ is always going to be superior to any other DQs.
Is that just the company that owns
That's like
them?
The family that owns like six or seven of them in the area.
Okay. I know what they're doing.
And I don't know what they've done. Their staffs seem happy and ridiculously helpful. They're always ridiculously clean. Shout out Mayfield DQ. Sorry I stepped on your McFlurry, but man,
that's
Blizzard.
Okay. Hey, it turned around fast, and now we have a new bit to do in the studio.
Yeah, we get to fly over ice cream.
Taste test.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Punishment time is here, and we finally got the one suggested by a listener. Our very first suggestion, today's punishment for Matt is going to be... The Lego Walk, Matt.
That's right. I think you got away with not doing this, even though you drew it a couple times.
I got Lego Walk with socks, and I did do it with the Cinnamon Challenge at the same time, and then threw up on top of the Lego. I got a picture of it.
Yeah. Here's
not
a picture of Legos I walked over.
Covered in cinnamon and vomit. Yeah. I mean, like, how...
Man, that just
it would
be
harder to fake that.
Now,
so,
we upped the ante to a naked foot Lego Walk, right?
This is a naked foot Lego Walk. You had this or the condom gum.
Yeah, that's not too
but
bad.
Instead, you're going to be doing the naked foot Lego walk, which is you're just going to go down, across, and back.
It doesn't. Here's the thing. It does not look that intimidating seeing it on the floor. You'd have laid it out the entire day, which
but then
so
you
stared at me.
But then you get just one in that foot. That's all it takes is one.
Well, because part of me, I was looking at it, I was like, oh, I bet I could do that in just one step. But that one quick step is going to put full weight when I land.
You just got to
be
careful.
And it might be better to do tiny, tiny steps. I don't want to do this.
The longer you wait, the more it's going to hurt.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, actually, hold on real quick. Spinny, if you don't mind, you said it looked a little sparse, so if you don't mind adding adding some Legos to that, I've just handed Spinny a giant box that is filled to the brim with Legos.
I love that I'm an idiot and I wasn't even like, oh, why is Spinny walking behind me? Son of a...
Oh, God, that is a lot of Legos! Oh... There we go. So
I was
now,
like, why
we
is
have a
VB
Lego
here? What's going on? Oh, God. Ugh. This actually looks like it might be easier with this many Legos.
Maybe. Oh. Yeah, because you're not pushing right on the floor. So if you're just tuning in.
I gotta tell you what, it doesn't feel great.
We do a sports bet every week, and whoever loses has to drop something on the punishment Plinko.
Hey, get.
And so Matt is now walking across the studio, which is covered in Legos, all the way, and then turn around.
Here, you know what? It's nice. Occasionally, I land on one of those big pieces that you build stuff, the big flat pieces. Thanks for putting those
in. And it makes you safer? Okay.
You mother effer!
Oh, God, it hurts!
Right at the end. Is it just one way?
No, you got to turn around and come back. You know how the firewalks work. How was that first one, Matt? Can we get a shot of your feet on Facebook?
Can I say that the little round ones that have a giant nail sticking out of it are not good?
Not good. All right. So now back across the studio.
It doesn't help to kind of move them out of the way either because
then you're getting more individual. Walking back across the Legos, crunching.
Right there. That looks fine.
That one's therapeutic.
Don't roll an ankle.
This is gonna hurt when I can stand. I can already feel it.
You can do this. Come on, Matt. One more step. Oh, there we go. The Legos. Hurry. Run across. Finish.
He's there.
Finish. Don't cuss on the radio.
He got one. Damn hanger on.
He got one stuck in the foot. So that's what you voted on for Matt to do his punishment, the Lego walk today. So thank you very much for doing that, Matt. How your feet feeling? You okay?
I would like all the ladies out there to know that I did shave my heels this morning before coming in here, so I'd look good for the ladies.
For the video at Just Matt and CJ. Yeah. All right, well, you did it. I'm proud of you. And
can I tell you that I thought, well, maybe I'll need to act this up a little bit, you know, so it sounds better.
Hand it up to radio. Hey.
That didn't feel good.
No,
it did not feel good at all.
I was worried you were going to fall, too.
And it didn't feel nearly as bad while I was walking across it. Like right now, it's starting to hurt really bad afterward.
No.
Why is there a delayed hurt here? It's like a breakup.
The adrenaline,
you think. It's like a breakup where you're like, oh, it hurts the same day. But then after like a month, it hurts worse. What's going on here?
I'm going to be honest with you. You might want to wash your feet and get a tetanus booster because.
Your dog peed on these?
No, actually, I bought these from comedian Kat Ramzinski, who.
oh, my God.
Who she buys storage unit items. So she does the storage unit thing. And
these
so
have been used to cook meth, man.
Yeah, these have been sitting in my office for a month waiting for this, and my office smells like cigarettes. Like it's just
cigarettes.
It is just bad. So you might want to go clean yourself too. Thanks,
Matt. How much do you have to smoke to make plastic Legos smell like cigarettes?
Yeah, a lot.
Oh man.
Good job.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
What's the weirdest meat you ever put in your mouth? Could get weirder coming up next week, in fact. You're familiar with Russia House? Russian House?
Yeah, yeah.
The restaurant down there on 5th Street.
Great place. Enjoy it when there's not a comedy show there every other time. Highly recommend it.
Sweet. Is it one of those places where they kind of thrust a comedy show on you when you're least suspecting it?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it's like right when you're just trying to sit down in the middle of the place having a drink.
I still haven't been in there, but they are doing a dumplings day. It's all you can eat dumplings day, February 1st. That's next Tuesday. Maybe we should do a show trip over there or something.
Yeah.
All kinds of different dumplings. Beef and pork.
Yum.
Veal.
Oof.
Turkey.
Oh.
Chicken. Deer,
yum.
Wild boar,
okay.
Elk,
yeah.
Bear.
Oh, so it's like a gay thing. Big hairy bears like me. Mm. Ah, can eat my dumpling.
I wish I had put it in an envelope so I could open it and say, this is going to be the joke that CJ makes when I say bear.
Yeah,
oh, that'd be such a good trick.
So predictable.
Such a good trick.
Bear meat can be really good.
Never tried it. Have you tried it before?
It tastes like if a bear's eating a lot of fish, it tastes fishy. If they're eating a lot of berries, it tastes... Yeah, I've had bear when I was younger.
Oh, did you
really?
It's
pretty good.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. I mean, I think it's like, to me, it's a huge rarity. They even reached out to the guy. The guy says, tough to find such exotic meat. But we work with Grand Natural Meats, and they supply us well. In fact, I've been reading this off the Chronicle, and they checked out with Central Market and Salt and Time, and they're like, no, we don't have a whole lot of bear meat. And I don't know how many people are reaching out for bear meat. I've never tried bear meat before, and this place called ElkUSA.com got access to your reindeer meat, buffalo bear meat. Goat meat, grain finished, white tail meat, venison.
Bald eagle.
And then there's something called the bargain barn, which I always think is interesting when you're ordering from any kind of meat place to reach out to the bargain barn.
That's what they got in the caldo, whatever's left over. Or when I worked at a sushi and... Japanese steakhouse place, we would do hot pot with all the stuff that you couldn't serve customers.
Right.
It was great.
That sounds great. It sounds delicious.
It was scary, but it was great.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just thought that would be interesting. I'd never heard of anybody eating bear meat. I went to a restaurant once up in Colorado where they had a lot of exotic game. There used to be Hudson in the Bend, Hudson on the Bend here in town. Mm-hmm. But never heard of bear. Just thought it was interesting. And I mean, isn't bear kind of like the national animal of the Ruskies? Should they be eating? Wouldn't that be like us eating Kentucky Fried Eagle?
Oh, it sounds amazing.
They did call Russia the sleeping bear.
So sleepy right now. No. Getting ready to maybe start a war in Europe. No. So I wouldn't really call them sleepy.
Forgot all about that. You son of a bitch.
Well, maybe we can celebrate next Tuesday at Russia House. 101X.
Here's more Matt and CJ. We finally know how Fight Club was meant to end.
And now it's time for the Nerd Report.
I just wanted to say that, I'm a nerd.
Well, the cult classic movie Fight Club finally has its appropriate ending. We now know how the movie was supposed to end. It has been leaking all over the internet, and I don't want to do any spoiler alerts here, so, you know, turn down your radio for a second if you don't want to know how Fight Club ends. Matt, I know you haven't seen a lot of movies, but I'm assuming you've seen this one, right?
I've absolutely seen Fight Club.
Okay. Well, there's been a bit of a change how it ends. It was where... You know, he shoots himself in the mouth. Tyler Durden, his alter ego, dies. Marla comes and finds him there. Then all of a sudden, all the buildings collapse while the Pixies play in the background.
Where's my mind?
Reset all of everyone's credit and all that stuff. That's actually not how it ends. The new explanation is as this. Through the clue provided by Tyler... The police rapidly figured out the whole plan and arrested all the criminals, successfully preventing the bomb from exploding. Mm-hmm. After the trial, Tyler was sent to a lunatic asylum, receiving psychological treatment. He was discharged from the hospital in 2012. So that is actually how the movie ends.
That's weird. That's not how the book ends.
Well, no. According to China, that's how the movie ends now. If you see that movie on any media in China, at the very end, before all that takes place, a black screen pops up and then explains how it actually ends. So
I love that he was released in so he gets all better and he's okay.
Yeah. So even though the criminals were arrested, according to the Chinese state narrative of Fight Club, it ends happily. Yeah, he gets out in 2012 and everything's okay.
Oh, and they're known as criminals in China?
Yes, that's what it says in their cut screen.
I mean, all they were doing was stealing human fat and fighting each other.
Pretty much. Yeah, no one died. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
His name was Robert Paulson. R.I.P. Meatloaf. I watched that recently and I feel like it still holds up. It's not quite as, I guess when I first watched Fight Club, I did have a lot of that angst.
Yeah, because you were like 12, 13 or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I was younger and had all that angst, and I watched it recently with my fiance, and I'm like, oh, this is tight, this is good. It didn't Still kind of holds up, still keeps me entertained, still fun.
I don't think I've seen it since maybe, I want to say 2001, 2002, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. Was that around when it was released?
It was 98 or 9.
99, okay. Yeah, 98, okay,
so
99.
So I saw it probably, saw it on HBO or something like that. No, I remember I saw it at a house.
Oh.
And I remember thinking, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
So we can start a fight club here.
And it was, I hadn't read the book at the time. I did not know the twist. And so, you know, I enjoyed it. I was like, oh, that's cool. But it wasn't a movie for me, like, you know, Catcher in the Rye or something where it was just like...
some people, this changed my life.
Yeah, and I do know that there are quite a few dudes who...
with that poster on the wall.
And their life really got changed by Fight Club or Scarface or Superbad.
Pulp Fiction.
I mean, there's just certain movies that really changed dudes. I have nothing to say bad about it. I mean, I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, this is called the Nerd Report because we talk about nerdy things, but you read the book? Look who's the dork now.
No, I had a copy of it, and I read, I read like 8 or 9 pages, and then I read those same 8 or 9 pages like 10 more times because I kept putting it down and then forgetting, and then
where
I was just like,
at?
I've already seen the movie, who cares?
Now I can't get into it, but speaking of, by the way, if you're giantly into Fight Club, if that influenced who you are as a person... and is essentially a big part of your identity. Jordan Peterson's in town tonight, so you can go see him at ACL Live if that's also your cup of tea. 101X,
Matt and CJ. Sad news overnight. Big Austin story. You probably heard it by this point in the day. Texas French Bread burned down overnight and is probably forever gone. And certainly the building is. I don't know if the business itself can... resurrect, established in 1981. So, you know, that's over 40 years they've been there on that same corner over there. And a lot of people maybe haven't made it to the West Campus area. Maybe they have never eaten at Texas French Bread, but you've probably had some of their goods because, well,
frankly, restaurants use them.
Ton of restaurants use their bread. And then, you know, if you went to University of Texas, no doubt at some point you interacted with Texas French Bread. I could never afford to eat there because it was like good food, you know? But it's where you went on date. You know, girls always wanted to go to Texas French Bread.
Yeah,
it was. And, you know, over the years, they've continued. They expanded for a while. Then they realized that their bread and butter really was just concentrating on that one building. But even as of late, I mean, they're a place where they had, you know, a $15 minimum wage, $15 an hour.
Right.
They offered health insurance to all their employees, sick pay, paid time off, all kinds of different options. They were a restaurant that was doing it right. And also, I mean, you know, they went by sort of like the French bistro model. We lost Chez Nous earlier in the year to COVID. Now this is gone, and I mean, I don't know if you saw pictures, but the building's
it's toast.
It's such is extensive fire damage and such an old building that there's no way that you can even resurrect those walls. They're going to have to, I would assume, raise the entire building.
Jeez.
So it's a little bit sad, you know, and it's
right
a bummer.
In the heart of Austin too. I mean, right there on campus. It's
I hate to see anybody, especially somebody who's poured their lifeblood into something like this, go out like that. Sorry, got me thinking about, like, are there any other old school Austin businesses that you'd be kind of bereft? Did I use that word correctly?
Yes.
Would be sad about if they burned down or they just were gone suddenly?
You feel bereft, yeah.
Suddenly. I mean, sometimes places are closing because, like, we talked about La Mexicana yesterday, and that's an owner who's been there for 40 years.
Retiring.
It was also a good story.
I want time to retire.
Same with Catfish Shack. Retired.
Yeah.
Not being forced out, not being closed, not a big-ass condo.
I was thinking about it. One that comes to mind immediately for me, because I was there, hanging out there when I was single and getting drunk with friends and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Had meetings there, all kinds of memories. And then, honestly, my kids have kind of been raised in the place on Sunday afternoons over the years. But the Texas Chili Parlor, I think, would be a crusher for me. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but it's OG. It's been around for a long time. And that one would really, really bum me out.
I mean, I guess just off the top of my mind, I think I would really be like, bereft, bummed out.
You can't, that's my word. I used bereft earlier. Can't use it.
I would be very... I would be in mourning and despair if the St. Jude's Children's Hospital burned down because there's kids in there, Matt. It's not just a stupid restaurant. But yeah, that would be one.
There's no St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Austin, dude.
I don't know.
It's in St. Judeville, idiot.
Let's be serious now.
Yeah.
I would have to say... my two longtime watering holes when I was a young sad, lonely, single man, Barton Springs Saloon and Nomad
the alley
Bar.
Behind, oh.
No.
Oh, Nomad, yeah.
I would be bummed out if Nomad or Barton Springs Saloon burnt down at first, but then I would tell you the reason I wouldn't be too upset about them is because I know the owners
both of them would love that insurance
money.
Yeah,
they probably set it on fire on purpose to get insurance money, so then I'd be like, oh,
well, don't put
okay.
that on them, but I think both of them would be like, look, I've been in the bar business a long time. I'm happy to be out.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be out. What about you, Spenny? You got any places that you love around the city?
There's a place called Deckhand. It's a little oyster bar, and yeah. they got two locations, so if one burned down, I'd be okay.
Wouldn't be as bad. There yeah. you go. Okay.
They just opened up a new one up north. So.
One's closer. You want yeah. you want that one to keep going.
Yeah, yeah. So, but there's this bakery on Burnin' Road, Upper Crust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that joint.
Yeah.
I've bought many a cake there for a sweetheart or for a family member. They got some good ass, was it the Italian cream? Just some good cakes.
Some good ass Italian cream.
Oh, yeah.
Let's
put
also,
that in my mouth.
Let's also just throw out the enigma of all of Austin restaurants, the Chili's on 45th and Lamar.
Oh, yeah.
If we ever lost that institution, I don't know what I would do. Also, what drug front is in that restaurant? Because there's never a car in the parking lot. But it's still there. Is that just where all the
Serving
other
Frosty Margs, baby.
Regional Chili's just store all their equipment right there on this valuable piece of property?
Like, so they do orientation.
Is anyone ever at that Chili's?
Oh, that company. Chili's is not in the restaurant industry. They're in the real estate industry. They liked having that corner. It's going to make them lots
of
money.
It's like a CVS or a Walgreens. Yeah,
exactly.
they just got to have that corner.
Yeah.
Another place was that recently did close down, but for some reason stayed open forever. I forget the name of it, but it was a family-owned Mediterranean cuisine right there on Rainy Street.
Oh, Rainy.
That somehow lasted forever while everything else was being built up around it. And I was just like, how is this not a drug front? How is this restaurant that's always empty still remaining in the middle of this?
But on the freeway side,
right on the freeway side,
they tore it down.
I saw that when we were coming back from New Braunfels over Christmas. They did finally get a hold of them, tore it down, and now it's where a bunch of 22-year-olds from Dallas live.
So that's it. And I'd like to point out to management that I asked both of these guys what enigmatic Austin business, if it burned down, they'd be crushed, and neither one of them said 101X. So just like to point out that they can both be fired now. I'll take their pay, please.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
City of Los Angeles are making major efforts to take care of the homeless population, and maybe Austin can follow this example. If you've ever heard the cliche around our town, it's don't make us California, all the hippies and liberals and homeless people. But it's a massive problem in Los Angeles. If you've ever visited, you've probably heard of the notorious Skid Row. But there is a large transient unhoused community down there. And the city of L.A., I guess, finally decided to do something about it, to try to help homeless people, to try to find a solution to it. Any guess as to why they're concerned about it?
I'm guessing because they want to move them off a piece of property to sell it and develop it.
No, L.A. has launched a massive homeless cleanup near SoFi Stadium because it's where the Super Bowl is going to be hosted. Around the stadium, there's a big problem with homeless people, and the city decided to do something about it. But only because the Super Bowl is going to be right there. So they are cleaning up, clearing them out, and, you know, not doing anything to solve the ever long running problem of unhoused people and just moving them to another spot.
I thought that's why people like Jeff Bezos and stuff were developing rockets that go into space so we could finally just shoot them out to the moon or something.
They're doing that so they can go to space and just leave everyone
else. We'll be homeless soon.
All the rich people will go into the moon. But as you've learned on this show, humans going to outer space just leads to what, Matt?
Excrement.
Oh,
on the moon.
Excrement on the moon? Vomit on the moon?
Cannibalism, remember? A computer ran a simulation and discovered
that
if we travel into space, the likely result is just going to be cannibalism.
Well, at least those rich people are going to be used to it.
Really not going to do that? But, you know, there was a big issue recently in Austin with the homeless bill. What was that? Was that Prop B? Was that Prop A?
It was definitely a proposition.
It was one of those. But essentially, the city can now enforce people that are camping in public spaces and they're not doing much of a job at it, apparently. People are still upset because it's not being enforced. There's still homeless everywhere. I believe the problem's more into scooters, but I think I've solved it. We just have to host a Super Bowl here in Austin, and then that'll get the city and everyone on the same page to clean up for a week. Not fix the problem, but just, you know, move it out of our eyesight.
Put a foundation,
here's the problem,
mascara on.
In order to get it done, really, we need to have the Super Bowl downtown. Not really stadium, but we could just put some chairs on top of some buildings and, you know, play on Congress.
What do you mean there's not a stadium? There's, what's the field right there by Shoal Creek Saloon, Lamar and 15th?
House Park?
House Park! Yeah, we just have the Austin Super Bowl at House Park. Just really hope it doesn't rain a little bit, because, as you know, House Park does flood.
Don't worry about that. It's no big deal.
Okay, yeah.
It's just a little bit of water.
Be very Austin, man. Very Austin. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's my solution to trying to address the city's homeless problem. You got something better, Matt?
I don't know. I thought maybe we could develop some programs for mental illness and drug addiction.
No,
that's just socialism.
Unacceptable.
Oh, sorry, my bad. No. I guess that really wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I thought about it again. You're right. I just seem to be angry.
Yeah.
Anger. Just being angry helps. That helps.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Are boneheaded mistakes costing you too much at the airport? We're going to find out. You know, the thing is I have not been on a plane or through an airport in over 2 years now. Actually, exactly 2 years this week.
I just recently traveled. It is as stressful as usual, but when I flew, it didn't seem to be very packed or bad getting out of
Austin.
Good. Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting to see what happens with the most recent spike, but hopefully some vacation plans I have on board might actually be able to happen. I'd be pretty stoked about it. Found an article. It says, look, don't make these dumb mistakes. We all do, and it costs us way more than we have to. The biggest thing, don't park at the airport.
I've never done it.
It's like $30-$40 a day.
God. And you is it that much now?
Oh, and you just park right off of campus or whatever you want to call it. I have this place called that. It's called Fast Park, I think.
Yeah.
Really nice buses, these free shuttles that take you right up there. Oh. They give you a free newspaper. Do you guys remember newspapers?
No.
Yeah, I do, faintly.
Yeah, it's a lot of words. You roll it up and then you beat somebody with it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're pictures, pretty pictures.
And free water. So that's not bad. And you're going to end up saving a lot of money. Or, frankly, sometimes you look at it, depending on how long you're going to be gone, add up what it costs to park. And sometimes you're like, well, for barely twice as much money, I can just take a car to the airport. And then I don't have to have the hassle of parking or anything at all.
Or why don't you just call upon a friend to do such?
You're at an age where a friend might take you to an airport.
Yeah,
None of my friends.
It sucks. I'm not taking anyone to an airport. I'm not picking anyone up from an airport. Yeah, you don't ask. You get to a certain age where you don't ask someone that, and you don't ask them to help you move. You find other solutions.
You need to know how much your luggage weighs. If it weighs too much, they charge you like $75. It's redonk. Some people say, but I don't have a way to weigh my luggage. Yeah, you do. Just stand on any scale you have, then lift up your luggage.
And then
do the
subtract
math.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. There you go.
I flew to Ireland with a buddy of mine from an old show, and his luggage was like 52 pounds trying to go. And we were like, you got to get rid of some stuff. So he got rid of some stuff so that he'd be under 50 pounds. We flew to Ireland, and on the way back, his luggage weighed 60 pounds. And I was like, dude, how does your luggage weigh more on the way back? And then we opened up his luggage, and he had a bunch of liquor bottles in there.
With Jameson, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, get rid of those bottles. And he's like, no. I'm like, dude, Jameson's cheaper at home than you pay. They wanted to charge him like $150 to get his bag back.
Oof. Customs. Jeez.
Use a reusable water bottle. It's empty. You go through the checkpoint, and then you can fill it up from
anywhere.
Anyway, or just spit in it until it fills back up or whatever. That's kind of nice. Tasty. And also, hey, get your own snacks. Bring your own snacks. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's also a good way to smuggle drugs, because if you have marijuana edibles, it can be anything. Popcorn, gummy bears, Chex Mix. You just put it in a little bag, put it in your purse, and then it looks just like a normal thing. There you go.
Also, they're reminding you, look, remember the 3-ounce limit. Some people still try to bring, they're like, oh, this is my, ladies will be like, this is my favorite perfume, and they'll put it in their bag, and then you're there, your plane's about to take off, and they're like, this is 3.25 ounces. And then they want you to throw it away. And if somebody got, like, perfume can be like $100.
Yeah.
Can it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I stopped drinking perfume a long time ago. I don't know. Uh-huh. And then they were reminding you things just like a lot of times there are places that are just outside of the airport where you can rent a car, not from the airport itself. And they'll give you a free shuttle.
I actually did that in LA, because
I had to rent a car for a week in LA. I saved myself like $500 by taking a shuttle to this other place. It was a pain in the ass because it added 30 minutes to get out of the airport or whatever. But $500
saves you a lot of money.
Yeah, that's it's
money.
A free ticket, basically.
What I don't get about my recent travels, and I wasn't going anywhere crazy, just from Austin to Amarillo to see family, but at both airports, ABIA and Rick Husband International, there's a person that checks your stuff, and then they randomly tell you to go to different lines.
Right.
But in one line, you're fine to leave your laptop in your bag. You don't have to take your electronics out. In the other line, you have to take it out, but you can leave your shoes on. In the other line, you have to take your shoes off. Like, what is the rhyme or reason of any of that?
I'll explain that to you. The x-ray machines were only working in one line, so why waste your time and have you take the stuff out? They just were making it go through this so you felt good.
Oh, okay, good. Nice and safe.
It was Amarillo. No one's going to blow up a plane trying to get out of Amarillo. Everybody wants out of that
place.
Everybody wants out of there.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
You'll never guess which celebrity is being accused of being a sex pest. It keeps happening. Celebrities are being called out for their bad sexual behavior. Sometimes, you know, coming onto women when they shouldn't, touching them.
In the DMs.
This person has been accused of making non-consensual sex tapes. And I feel bad because this is going to really destroy the image a lot of people had of him. And... I'm not trying to say I'm victim blaming
here. Are you about to cancel someone?
I guess so. A new documentary has come out, and it is letting us know that, believe it or not, Hugh Hefner apparently wasn't.
Outstanding gentleman when it came to dealing with women.
I've seen these articles all day today where people are just like, you'll never believe it. I'm like, I absolutely will believe that a guy who dedicated his life to giant cocaine parties and a sex mansion probably wasn't living a squeaky clean life. The documentary is coming out on A&E. It's a part of a series they're doing, I guess, to be like, ooh, look what's happening. I will say that it's getting lost in the news because the non-consensual sex tapes is actually the most agreed thing. But what's getting the headlines right now is apparently one night on a little bit of cocaine, he apparently had sex with a dog. Now, who hasn't?
What kind of dog are we talking about?
See, that's where I like you. You're like, hey, being big dog? I mean,
big dogs or little dogs? Little dog's a little mean. It's not nice.
Are you trying to suss out whether it was consensual or not? Because I don't know that a dog can give consent. Big dogs can let you know.
No, I'm just being stupid. Come on.
Hefner taped everything in his bedroom. Many men, many stars, many athletes in and out of the bedroom having sex with girls. He kept all the tapes.
Yeah, remember, anytime you go to a sex dungeon, you're probably going to be on camera. I would say that's safe to say.
They say Hefner really didn't participate. He would just watch the tapes.
He would direct.
I see. Smoking a cigar.
He said he thought of himself as a film director. And, I don't know. Anyway, there's no part of me that's shocked. And are we asking if he's canceled? Here's the thing. Life canceled him already.
so we don't need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Great news. There's a way that you could potentially reduce the risk of catching COVID, and it's especially exciting news for me because it involves drinking red wine.
That sounds way more delicious than horse dewormer.
Yeah, it absolutely does, or Invectormin, whatever else things, hydrochlorothiazide.
Look at you in the liberal media trying to make fun of the stuffs.
Hey man, Soros still cuts me them checks, what can I say? But yeah, you can drink red wine because in a study in the United Kingdom, people who consumed 5 or more glasses of red wine in a week, not in a night. I know.
I was getting excited, dude. I was like, give me the permission.
They said the study indicated you have a 17% lower risk of catching the virus. There's something in it specifically, a high content of polyphenol, which is known to help with the flu and other respiratory conditions that might help you prevent from getting COVID. But I'm just excited because with my doctor on my ass about drinking too much, I can say, no, F you, I got to have my 5 glasses of wine a night.
Yeah. And sometimes if you want to just have like a little like straight whiskey, you put some red food coloring in there and your body doesn't know the difference.
It's even stronger than wine, so it's even better. I mean,
that's true.
I was reading a study yesterday saying that red wine does increase heartburn and some of the other issues I'm struggling with now. But I feel like preventing COVID is going to be a lot more important. So I'm going to go get me a Malbec, a Pinot Noir, some Cabernet, some Merlot. Name a wine.
Please get Cabaret.
I will. this study, according to The Mirror, which of course seems like a reliable source for medical information. But just remember, if you are worried about COVID, screw a mask, social distancing, vaccinating. The guy on the shock jock radio station told you to just drink some red wine. It'll take care of you just fine.
You should come over to my house. I just opened a brand new bottle of Clorox brand red wine.
Oh, delicious. Yeah. It's a port. I can smell it. Nice chocolate notes in there.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
The future of the metaverse is here.
Yay! Put on your goggles and jump into the internet.
Look, I know a lot of people thought maybe, you know, the metaverse was going to be kind of lame. Then Facebook changed their name to Meta and said, we're going all in on the metaverse. Now, they have an incredible amount of power, right? All the money, all the scientists at their hands. So you know that what they come out with is going to be pretty fascinating. And they've been hinting, hey, we've got this product. It is released. The first ad came out for Horizon.
Okay.
Horizon is the first offering for the metaverse from Facebook's company, Meta. And I watched the ad and it is Second Life with a headset. I can't even explain to you how bad this looks,
dude.
No. I cannot explain to you how you have an avatar and you walk around and you talk to people. Also, the video the video is just a bunch of couples, but there's only one person in the couple who's spending time in the metaverse, and then the other person's always like doing the
cooking
dishes
dinner,
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, so is this, are you just admitting that you're just trying to break up relationships with Second, it looks so bad. I don't even know.
Like, are they just Wii characters walking around?
Let me show you a picture of it, okay? They don't have legs, and you just float around in spaces.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
It looks like a bad Pixar cartoon.
It does, doesn't it? And
okay.
I don't get it. I guess the idea is that, you know, hey, in the future, we'll be able to do all these things. But when I look at it, like, but this is still just a video game.
The commercial just literally showed a woman flying a plane, having fun with other people, and her spouse is off doing something else.
He's cooking or cleaning the kitchen.
That's so bizarre and sad.
Yeah. And then like, oh, now you can go to a class where you can do painting in the metaverse. It really makes the metaverse look thoroughly depressing.
Yeah, so if you have a miserable relationship at home and want to further split from your spouse, jump into the metaverse.
Yeah, I don't even, when they first announced the iPhone, they said, oh, we have something special today. And then nobody had ever thought of a touchscreen phone.
No.
With all these apps. It blew our minds. We were like, oh, how does this, who even thought of this? When they came in, you would think that there'd be something, and instead I feel like this is like Steve Jobs came out and said, we want to introduce you to the iPager. It's a new Apple-branded pager.
Touchscreen pager, yeah.
Just like, I don't even get what's going on. So anyway, congratulations, Meta and Horizon. But this is absolutely weird. I don't get it.
Another way to escape the family.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Good news, guys. We've avoided another potential apocalypse.
Oh, good. No asteroids headed our way?
None of that. As a matter of fact, this is something that could have started as far away as Pennsylvania and absolutely spread its way through the United States. If you've ever seen any movies or video games, you will know how potentially dangerous this could have been.
Oh, were they going to release Steelers fans on the rest of the nation?
No. Angry, sad, you punks. No, even worse than a Steelers fan. 100 lab monkeys accounted for after escaping a crash.
What?
Yeah, apparently in Pennsylvania, a truck was driving, not some kind of lab van with shuttered windows and security and armed guards and Humvees before and after it.
No, was it just, like a military vehicle?
No, just a pickup truck with a trailer filled with cages with 100 animals got into a wreck with a dump truck, and the lab animals just ran off.
Wait. So they just got, like, they just asked somebody from Lano to grab a horse trailer and they put a bunch of monkeys in it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It gets worse.
No, it doesn't.
This shipment of monkeys was en route to a CDC-approved quarantine facility after arriving Friday from Kennedy Airport. So these aren't just your run-of-the-mill lab monkeys. These are monkeys that were on their way to quarantine.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, it gets worse.
There are escape monkeys hopped up on some kind of experimental juice, but it gets worse?
Yes, it gets worse because in the article it says these experimental lab monkeys, which escaped in the United States and it took them an entire weekend to round all of them up, came from an unnamed island in the Indian Ocean.
Like no one's ever bothered to name the island?
It said in the article it's an unnamed island. Like this is some Dr. Moreau crap.
Yeah,
right,
Dr. Dharma's out there.
But again, all the monkeys are accounted for, or so we're being told.
Oh, yeah. 100 is hopefully all of them instead of just the ones they found.
But why are
you
they
know?
Just transported in some dude's trailer? Like, yeah, I'm heading that way. I'll grab them. I'll put them in the back.
They use that company U-Ship.
Oh, hey, yeah. Shout out to my fiance.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Tostada Tuesday.
Hey.
I'm going to say that, you know, traditionally it's Taco Tuesday, but recently my family's been doing Tostada Tuesday. I'd like to invite you gentlemen not to join me at my house. I don't want you over there. I can't afford to feed the two of you. But
We will drink and eat our way through your entire house.
Six of them.
I'm just saying I want to invite you. You guys should start doing Tostada Tuesday.
You're right.
I love Tostadas.
They're great. Open-faced taco.
Yeah. There's a little place by my house, one of the Mi Pueblita stores that has an old lady that's a cook in the back, and they just do different kinds of tostadas. But at first, they were making the shells fresh and frying them. But now you can tell they use packaged ones. It's not as good, but it's still so delicious.
There's something wonderful about trying to recreate like a Taco Bell style tostada as well.
Yes,
just like packaged shells. Going the cheap. And then
it's so easy. You just put them in the oven. You don't even have to do that. You can microwave a tostada.
You can just heat up the beans and that's enough
too.
It's what they're doing at the Taco Bell. My kids couldn't figure out. I've always liked a tostada with a little bit of sour cream on it.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
But I like making them at home, and my daughter said, I can't believe you put so much lettuce on a tostada. And I explained it to her, and this will help you guys, too, because your faces look like mine. The sour cream hides underneath the lettuce, and then if you have mustaches like ours, you don't take a bite.
Globs of everything. Not just sour cream, but the hot sauce, even the melted cheese, the beans, it all congeals together and keeps it from getting all through your
It's the beauty
beard.
Of lettuce, my friends. It makes a protective layer.
Now, what I've always wanted to try, and you can't just do it with tostadas. You could, but I want to recreate Taco Bell's Mexican pizza somehow. And Matt, I feel
you're the
most astute chef type in this studio right now.
Challenge accepted.
Can you do it for us?
I will absolutely try to do it. I'll try to recreate the enchilada.
Their
version of an enchilada. I'll try to recreate that. Like maybe that's what we should
like
do.
The 80s.
Let's try to see if we can figure out how to redo Taco Bell stuff.
That's
I know there are pop-ups around the city to do it, but why make it easy?
Pizza.
Let's make it really difficult for ourselves
on our own. Better idea. Why aren't we just sponsored by Taco Bell? It's a weekly theme on this
show. It's a liability.
It's right down the street from us.
I know, but it's a liability. They realize that one of the three of us is bound to die of a heart attack or a stroke soon.
They
don't want that on their hands.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons 101X.